Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The severe weather threat has increased across the area tomorrow. I'll outline the latest thoughts on the hazards coming up.
Also new this noon, traffic is flowing once again at a busy intersection in Johnston County after a hit-and-run crash.
Plus, rain or shine, North Carolina's largest craft brew festival kicks off tonight in downtown Raleigh. What you need to know about the two-day event.
Tomorrow's a WRAL weather alert day due to the risk of severe storms. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Kat Campbell has been looking over three new models. She joins us with a look at the updated hourly storm chances. Kat.
It looks like the rain may move out about an hour earlier. And while that may not sound significant, that means you may be dry by the time you get to your Saturday night dinner plan. So let's take a look at the updated hourly rain chances. We could begin to see some of the rain and even thunderstorms popping up by about 10 a.m. By noon, up to a 60% chance for rain. And rain chances really peak from about 1 p.m. through 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, and that's when we also have the greatest potential for a severe storm to move through. Most of the viewing area under a level 2 threat for severe weather. This was updated earlier today. Damaging wind gusts, hail, and the potential for an isolated tornado. And that's new today. After looking over some of the high-resolution models and the storm ingredients, there is some potential for a rotating thunderstorm. That would mainly be north and east of the triangle. This is not likely. This is not a high-end threat, but we want to let you know about this, and we'll be very closely monitoring the radar tomorrow to keep you up to date and safe. 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, it's about a 20% chance for rain. So if you need to get outside, get some exercise and do it first thing in the morning. By 10 a.m., we are up to about a 30 to 40% chance for rain. It would be isolated activity, but we could see a thunderstorm already by 10 a.m. and greater storm chances return once we get past lunchtime into the afternoon. The radar likely to be quite active with these scattered intense thunderstorms 2, 3, 4 o'clock, and we could even begin to see a broken line of thunderstorms form. And when you see a line like this develop, that brings the potential for some very strong, dangerous, gusty winds to the area. That continues to push to the east, and I do think that we'll start to dry out in the triangle once we get closer to 5, 6 o'clock, and the bulk of these storms to our east by dinner time tomorrow evening. I'll talk more about how much rain we could see from this system coming up in about 10 minutes. Jeff.
Thanks, Kat. Traffic is finally moving once again through a busy intersection in Smithfield after a crash knocked out power for hours. It was breaking news during our evening news when a dump truck plowed into power poles, taking down lines, fell on several cars. This all happened on U.S. 70 business at Swift Creek Road. WRAL Shelley Jackson joins us live from that intersection. And Shelley, you have learned more about the driver of that dump truck.
Well, we sure have. His name is Leonardo Jose Delgado Gonzalez, and I'm going to come back to him in just a moment. But first, let me set the scene out here. The road, as you said, open in both directions, and traffic is flowing pretty smoothly. And now these crews that you see, they have been out here all night working to repair these poles and these lines. And they say that all they have left are these telephone lines, and they're working to get those back up right now. Now, this is what it looked like last night. Witnesses say the driver of the dump truck flew through the intersection, driving with his bed up. He hit 5 poles and 4 traffic lights, and some of those poles fell on about 6 cars. Luckily, no one was injured. Now, the driver, Delgado Gonzalez, initially fled the scene and was arrested when he returned later this afternoon, or yesterday afternoon. He received 2 citations, one for hit and run and one for vehicle height violation. Now, back out here live, he did post bond this morning, and the estimates for this property damage right now, $75,000. Back to you.
Shelley Jackson live at Smithfield. It's good to see that running. I know there were some later accounts of when that would get up and going, so thanks for that report. A newly released survey reveals 59% of voters in a Charlotte district say Representative Tricia Cotham's party switch was a betrayal. The survey was conducted by Public Policy Polling. In addition, when asked to choose between Tricia Cotham and a Democratic candidate in the next election, 55% of voters say they are less likely to vote for Cotham next time. 56% of voters say they will support a Democratic candidate in the next election.
We're working to learn more about a soldier killed in a training exercise at Fort Bragg. WRA's Brian Schrader has been tracking new information on this. Brian.
We learned about this just after 9 o'clock this morning. The Army says that Sergeant Joseph Zigarowski was killed Wednesday at Fort Bragg. He was a mechanic assigned to the 10th Transportation Battalion, 7th Transportation Brigade Expeditionary. Sergeant Zigarowski enlisted in the Army back in 2018, and he was assigned to Joint Base Langley-Eustis in Virginia. According to a Facebook post from the 18th Field Artillery Brigade, Zigarowski's unit was conducting sling load classes this week at Fort Bragg. A sling load is cargo that is attached to the bottom of a helicopter. WRL's Joe Fisher is working to find out more about Sergeant Zigarowski and exactly what happened. Look for his reports beginning today at 4 on WRL News. Renee.
Really sad to hear about this. Brian, thank you. The body of 25-year-old Staff Sergeant Caleb Gore is back in North Carolina. Gore was one of nine soldiers killed when two Black Hawk helicopters crashed during a nighttime training exercise in March. Members of the Patriot Guard gathered at the airport with Gore's family to escort his body back to his hometown of Morehead City. None of them knew Gore nor his family, but they say they're bonded through the brotherhood of service.
The man who carried out a mass shooting at a Louisville, Kentucky bank earlier this month did it to show how easy it is for a mentally ill person to buy a gun. Police say Connor Sturgeon left two extensive notes revealing part of his motivation. One was in his home, the other was found on him. Sturgeon purchased an AR-15 style assault rifle 7 days before the shooting. Police say he then used that gun to kill five of his coworkers within a minute before police shot and killed him. Sturgeon's family says he struggled with depression, but that they didn't see signs he was capable of deadly violence. A sixth person is now in custody, charged in the deadly shooting at a Sweet 16 birthday party in Dadeville, Alabama. Four people were killed, 32 were injured. Police say a 15-year-old is charged with four counts of reckless murder. Two men were also arrested yesterday. Earlier this week, special agents arrested three other suspects. All of those people face the same charges and are being held without bond. No word on a motive.
People around the world lost confidence in the importance of routine childhood vaccines against killer diseases like measles and polio during the COVID pandemic. That's according to a newly released report from UNICEF. In 52 of the 55 countries surveyed, the public perception of vaccines for children declined between 2019 and 2021. Approximately 67 million children missed out on one or more potentially life-saving vaccines during the pandemic. WRL heard from two of the three executives who were asked to step down from Duke Regional Hospital, saying no comment. The CEO of Duke University Health System, Dr. Craig Albanese, sent a letter to staff talking about the shakeup on Thursday. The letter notes the requirement of making leadership changes to best position our hospital to fulfill its mission. Three top-level executives left immediately. Right now, no chief operating officer is listed for the hospital.
Taking a look at stocks this noon, final day of trading here. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was in positive territory earlier this morning. This noon right now, it is down marginally, just about 6 points right now. The S&P 500 is losing territory as well, headed for a losing week as we wrap up on this Friday. The NASDAQ is in positive territory, just marginally up 5 points. Carolina Hurricanes will look to take another step. A commanding 3-0 lead in their opening round Stanley Cup playoff series if they can get a win tonight. They face off the New York Islanders after beating them twice at PNC Arena. They'll play tonight without star forward Teuvo Teravainen, who broke his hand in game two. Puck drop for tonight's game, 7 p.m.
You're looking live at Fayetteville Street in downtown Raleigh, where North Carolina's largest craft beer festival kicks off tonight and continues for a full day tomorrow. Now with storms in the forecast, WRL's Laura Levine shares the plans for Brugaloo.
Brugaloo officially kicks off tonight with a block party right here in downtown Raleigh from 6 to 10 p.m. But if you are heading to the festival tomorrow, you may want to grab one of these, a rain poncho. But despite the rain and the weather, organizers say that they believe that this will be an event bigger than ever before. Tens and thousands of people are expected to pack downtown Raleigh this weekend for the festival. And this year, more than 110 North Carolina craft breweries are participating. And all of the music and artists are from the Triangle. Jennifer Martin, the event director, says they're working with RPD and a private security company to provide event safety, and they will have a contingency plan for the weather.
Saturday, we are looking at maybe potentially some showers, but good news, water and beer still go very well together. And so we will be happening rain or shine. In case of any lightning, there is a 30-minute delay. We just ask that you kind of seek some shelter for that time period, but we will resume and we are fully scheduled to go on as planned.
And as far as traffic goes, these streets on this map will be closed throughout the festival. There is plenty of parking available as well. This event is free and open to the public, but you can support local businesses, vendors, as well as those breweries by just paying as you go, or you can purchase a wristband this weekend. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
Next at noon, how does this happen? $20 million in gold and other valuables gone. The airport in Canada where it happened and what police know about how it disappeared.
Also, a new way to make clouds generate more water. What it could mean for drought conditions out west.
Plus, breast implant illness. At 12:30, the warning from a woman now reversing the process that made her sick.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Canadian police say a total of $20 million worth of gold and other high-value goods have been stolen at Toronto Pearson International Airport. Police say the heist happened on Monday when a high-value container was stolen from a holding cargo facility after it was taken off a plane that landed there. Police would not say what airline was responsible for shipping the cargo or where the flight originated.
The SS Sally Ride cargo spacecraft departed the International Space Station this morning. The uncrewed spacecraft slowly drifted away from the ISS Unity module with the help of the space station's robotic arm. The spacecraft arrived at the ISS more than 5 months ago, carrying 8,200 pounds of supplies, scientific investigations, commercial product, and other hardware and cargo. California hillsides are exploding with wildflowers that can be seen from space. After one of the wettest winters on record, swaths of yellow, orange, blue, and purple paint the landscape this month. The state is also a lot greener than usual.
Earth Day is tomorrow. An expert at UNC shared six easy ways to help the environment. And his easiest tip was use your dishwasher.
Dishwashers are an amazing technology. They use about 80% less water than just washing your dishes by hand, right? So, you know, an average dishwasher uses about 10 liters of water. If you go and wash that same amount of dishes by hand, you're going to use upwards of 50 liters of water.
Search Earth Day on WRL.com to see more tips, including what you can do with a Sharpie at parties.
If you plant a seed in the ground, odds are good it'll grow under the right conditions. But what about seeding clouds to generate water? Gary Bumgarten takes a closer look at the cloud seeding operations out west and how this unique technology could help boost water levels in areas affected by severe drought.
Years of persistent drought across large portions of the country causing scientists in the Rocky Mountains to use a technique called cloud seeding to raise critically low water levels.
Cloud seeding is a process that injects silver iodide particles into clouds that are not producing ice very well on their own. We can insert the silver iodide through aircraft flying in the clouds or from ground-based generators that release a smoke plume that flows up into the clouds over the mountains. And once the silver iodide gets into the cloud, it forms ice, and then that ice can readily grow into snow.
Over time, the new powder adds to the existing snowpack, which melts and flows into surrounding waterways like the Colorado River. According to the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, roughly 40 million Americans across seven states rely on water from the Colorado River and its tributaries for drinking, farming, and recreation.
It's not like we're building a reservoir for one particular water use or one group of water users. It impacts everybody.
But while researchers say cloud seeding is a safe and proven way to raise water levels, it's not always a guarantee.
You can't cloud seed if there aren't winter storms that aren't coming through. So if it's really, really dry, you're not going to get more water from the non-existent storms, essentially.
That's Gary Baumgart reporting. Meantime, scientists are using new computer systems to better predict the benefits of future cloud seeding operations. So instant water and snow, just add seeds.
Well, no drought conditions for us. We're good on rain. Meteorologist Kat Campbell takes a look at what a wet spring it has been.
And even this April, so far it's the second wettest April to date on record. We've already had over 8 inches of rain this spring. We're running about 2 inches above normal for the season so far. It's been a wet spring, and we've got more rain on the way tomorrow, and it could add up a good bit. We're talking half an inch to about an inch of rain possible tomorrow. And areas that do see the more intense thunderstorms, I think you could easily see over an inch of rain the way the atmosphere is set up. It's a strong cold front that is coming our way. It won't only bring strong storms, but also a big cool down by the end of the weekend and early next week. But let's talk about the storm potential here on Futurecast using a statewide view in case you are traveling this weekend. Tomorrow morning, already raining in the North Carolina mountains. I think we'll begin to see some thunderstorms popping up just to our west around 10 a.m., perhaps in the western part of our viewing area. And the best chances for storms will come about lunchtime through 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. The radar quite active at 2 o'clock. If you do have any outdoor plans during the afternoon, notice it's not a huge area of rain that's covering the whole map, but these individual storm cells are likely to be pretty intense. And we could even see those storms try to develop into a line, as Futurecast is showing here. So if you've got outdoor plans, I would say lunchtime through 6 o'clock. I would try to move those inside. As we do get towards 6 o'clock, the bulk of the storms would be in the eastern part of our area and state. We may begin to dry out in the triangle after that. So your dinner plans, the way Futurecast looks right now, look like they may be in okay shape, at least for traveling. Check in for an update tomorrow morning. Looking at Futurecast at the coast, though, those storms likely to roll in between about 6 and 10 o'clock tomorrow night. So you may run into some storms at the beach. Already by 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, I wanted to point out that we have some storm energy in place. It's moderate. We're not in the high category, but we may already have some rumbles of thunder with that initial batch of more isolated storm cells late in the morning, and the storm energy sticking around through about 5, 6 o'clock as well before clearing out. So a heads up, you may hear some thunder pretty early in the day. In Pinehurst, it is bright. It is beautiful there at the resort and country club. What a fabulous Friday. Try to make the most of this nice weather while we've got it. If you're golfing, temperatures should be right around the mid-80s by 2, 3 o'clock this afternoon. Nice, warm, and sunny. I just got a text message from one of our producers here at WRL. She is swimming today. It is warm enough where her pool has heated up and she's able to get into the water. Really nice weather for Brugaloo this evening as well. 7 o'clock, 78 degrees by 9 o'clock in the upper 60s tonight. So you still have hours to go to enjoy this nice weather before things take a turn tomorrow. It's a 90% chance of rain and storms, and due to the potential for strong to severe storms, damaging wind gusts, hail, and perhaps an isolated tornado, it is a WREL weather alert day tomorrow. After that, look at this temperature drop going from highs in the upper 80s all the way to high temperatures in the 60s, and that lasts through next week. I'll show you how long the below normal temperature pattern could last coming up in the next half hour.
All right, well, we'll take the temperatures in the 60s. You know, it's nice to cool things down a little bit. Kat, thank you. Today on our news at 4, we're talking about UFOs. Technically, they're now known as unidentified aerial phenomenon. And since the Chinese spy balloon incident, they're making headlines. Today on our news at 4, find out why the government teams tracking them are more concerned with technology than extraterrestrials.
Then at 5:30, it sounds like an odd pairing. Find out what Raleigh's water department is doing to fuel dozens of city buses. And virtual reality is helping treat real issues ahead. How doctors are using this technology in practice.
And there's been an uptick in mental health days among the workplace. Coming up, we'll tell you why more employers are on board with personal days when you're feeling stressed. happening right now in the WREL Live Center. Some sports news to share with you this afternoon. The NFL says they are suspending five players for violating a gambling policy. Three Detroit Lions were suspended indefinitely through the 2023 season for betting on NFL games last season. Two others were suspended six games. And then Washington Commanders player Shaka Tony, he was also suspended indefinitely. The NFL has released a statement saying league review uncovered no evidence and indicating any inside information was compromised. The Detroit Lions this afternoon saying the decision the players made violates league rules, and the Commanders saying they are cooperating fully with the NFL.
Michelle, thanks. Twitter has begun taking away its blue check marks, and more than a dozen states want some Hyundai and Kias recalled. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Attorneys general from 18 states are asking for a recall of Hyundai and Kia models that are easy to steal. The vehicles in question were made between 2011 and 2022. They lack standard anti-theft features. That's led to a surge of the cars being stolen. The AGs say the thefts have created a serious safety issue and have led to at least eight deaths. Hyundai and Kia are offering software updates, but the states call that response insufficient. BuzzFeed News is shutting down. It's part of a broader move by parent company BuzzFeed. About 15% of the company's overall workforce, or approximately 180 people, will be laid off. BuzzFeed News won a Pulitzer Prize 2 years ago for its reporting on the mass detention of Muslims in China. CNBC reported the division had lost about $10 million a year. Twitter has started to remove its blue legacy check marks. Users will have to subscribe and pay for the mark now. The change is another step by owner Elon Musk to move the platform more toward paid subscriptions. Twitter had awarded the blue check marks as a way to verify accounts and prevent people from impersonating high-profile users. And a number of celebrities have already said they won't subscribe or pay for the check mark once it's removed. IKEA is making its biggest investment ever in the U.S. The Swedish furniture retailer will spend nearly $2.2 billion over the next 3 years. It will open 17 new IKEA stores and modernize existing locations. Nine of the new stores will be what IKEA calls plan and order points. The format lets customers plan the layout of their kitchen, bedroom, or living room, and then place the order for the IKEA products needed. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
More jobs are allowing employees to receive personal days off when life gets too stressful. A Wall Street Journal report says time off is developed to address mental health in the workplace and helps keep the best employees. NerdWallet is one company that issues four self-care days per year. Other employers, like software company Alma, grant 2 days to process traumatic events. Now more workers are looking for companies that serve mental health needs. A new report says some doctors are using virtual reality to help their clients face their real fears. The method known as exposure therapy is making VR headsets more personal to help individuals face their fears. Doctors use this technique to create a safe environment for their clients to process traumatic memories. Wall Street Journal reports the Department of Veteran Affairs is starting a pilot program to send the device home with veterans.
Several Republicans have announced plans to run for president in 2024, but we have yet to hear from President Biden when he is likely to announce his plans. Also,
I felt like no doctor was taking me serious. They were like, it's going to heal, you're fine.
In fact, though, she was not fine. One woman shares her personal decision to remove her breast implants after experiencing adverse effects. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
As early as next week, President Biden is expected to announce his bid for re-election. And just last night, conservative radio talk show host Larry Elder revealed he'd also be running for office in 2024. John Lawrence shows us what's ahead in the presidential race.
It appears President Joe Biden wants to spend another 4 years at the White House. Biden has reportedly signed off on a plan to formalize his intentions to run for re-election.
As my mother and Miss Grammer said, God love you.
Four sources familiar with the situation say a video announcement about another White House bid could be released as soon as Tuesday.
If you look at the polls right now, it looks like it's Trump and Biden. Okay, I guess I'm going to have to pick. Maybe we should try to avoid that.
But Biden has more pressing matters than a possible rematch against former President Donald Trump, including this week's report from the Labor Department, which says first-time jobless claims are up and the looming deadline for raising the U.S.'s debt ceiling.
Would you simply raise the limit, or would you first sit down and look at what you're spending your money on? Every household does that, and Congress should do the same.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's plan, which he says will get through the House next week, has not impressed the Biden administration.
The way to have a real negotiation on the budget is for House Republicans to take threats of default when it comes to the economy and what it could potentially do to the economy off the table.
If McCarthy's bill gets through the House, it's not expected to pass the Democratic-led Senate.
That was John Lawrence reporting. The Congressional Budget Office says if the debt ceiling isn't raised, our nation could default on its debt sometime between July and September.
A man is in the hospital after shooting at a Goldsboro hotel. Police say they found Tyreek Artis shot at the Quality Inn on South Harding's Drive just after 11:30 last night. He had been shot in the chest. He was taken by helicopter to ECU Health Medical Center in Greenville and is listed as stable. So far, no word on any suspects. WRL is working to learn more about a shooting involving a child. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was on the scene last night on Johnsdale Road in Raleigh. Investigators say it happened just after 8 p.m. Police tell us a child was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. As of right now, they have not released the child's name nor what led to the shooting. We do know that officers are not looking for a suspect.
The rider of a dirt bike is dead after being hit by a tanker truck in Johnston County. The crash happened around 10 last night at U.S. 70 just west of Princeton. Highway Patrol told our crew at the scene the bike rider pulled into the path of the truck and was hit. The dirt bike had no lights on. Authorities say no charges will be filed against the truck driver. The Justice Department says it's reached a multi-million dollar settlement against some U.S. oil and gas companies. They aim to resolve claims that the businesses used faulty equipment to manufacture and refine natural gas and other actions that violated the Clean Air Act. According to the DOJ, the companies will spend about $16 million on repairs and upgrades. The changes are said to have the potential to reduce pollution by 953 tons each year.
A New York City woman is warning others against getting one of the most popular kinds of cosmetic surgery, breast augmentation. She says she suffered rashes, joint muscle pain, and even heart palpitations from the procedure. And she's not alone. Many women have experienced similar symptoms for years, described as breast implant illness. NBC News medical fellow Dr. Akshay Sayal shares her story.
49 seconds before we crack open the mic.
Radio personality Marissa Gonzalez, better known as Lala, goes on the air to talk about entertainment, music, and culture with her co-host and twin sister, Lulu.
3.5 KTU, the beat of New York.
But these days, she's talking about something else.
I've been sharing my story about explanting and
explant surgery, or the removal of breast implants. Breast augmentation is one of the most popular kinds of cosmetic surgery, but its history has been fraught with legal challenges and even temporary suspensions of the procedure over possible health issues. After her surgery, Gonzalez says she began developing symptoms like rashes, joint and muscle pain, and even heart palpitations.
I went to a dermatologist, I went to an allergist, I threw out all my makeup, all the brushes. It wouldn't go away.
The FDA, which has approved saline and silicone-filled implants, says that they're monitoring and researching symptoms similar to Gonzalez's, described as breast implant illness. But the agency doesn't recognize the illness as a formal medical diagnosis, and that's left many patients without answers.
I felt like no doctor was taking me serious. They were like, it's going to heal, you're fine.
But breast implant removal is becoming more common. Between 2006 and 2019, there was a 30% increase in these kinds of surgeries, according to data from the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. Dr. David Rankin, a plastic surgeon, once did hundreds of breast augmentations a year. Now, he focuses on patients who've had problems with the implants.
We see a lot of patients with thyroid issues,
joint pain is a big one, hair loss, brain fog, just generally tired, lethargic, not feeling themselves. There's theories that it's just a foreign body and your body's fighting against it. The real bottom line is, at this point, we really don't know.
Dee Hicks is a patient care coordinator for Dr. Rankin. She and other advocates have been pushing for the FDA to further acknowledge risks linked to augmentation. The agency issuing its strictest black box warning in 2021. But Hicks says the work is not over.
I see the suffering every day. I see people lose their jobs, their relationships, their health.
That was Dr. Akshay Sayal reporting. Breast implant removal is typically performed while you are fully asleep under general anesthesia. And during recovery, it's normal to feel some soreness and discomfort for about a week.
Yeah, risk signs been there for years now. Well, it's Earth Day tomorrow, a reminder that it's up to all of us to take care of the planet we call home. Up next, I'll talk live with the maker of popular toys about their efforts to make their toys more Earth-friendly.
A Durham student earned an incredible college scholarship from Amazon. What he plans to study and what he'll be doing his first year out of college.
Our county by county coverage takes us to Orange, Sampson, and Cumberland counties. Hundreds of parents, educators, students, and law enforcement got together last night for an important community conversation in Cumberland County. The Cumberland County Family Academy hosted the School Safety Forum to address ways to keep students and staff safe. Suggestions include providing free gun locks for parents, hiring more mental health professionals, and employ at least one school resource officer at each school. Organizers plan to share the feedback with district administrators. A new park is scheduled to open this coming weekend along the Eno River. The Panther Branch Natural Area will open this Saturday, which is also Earth Day. The Eno River Association helped transform 56 acres of family-owned forest for the park. It's located in the Eflin area in Orange County. There are more than 2 miles of trails and areas for fishing. The park opens 9 a.m. tomorrow. Sampson County Sheriff's Office is making it easier for you to keep up with crime and crashes in your area. The department says it is launching its new Citizen Connect page. You'll be able to search incidents, press releases, arrests, bookings, and more, and that information will be updated daily.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, crews are currently battling a 7,000-acre wildfire on our coast. I have pictures of it here. This is the U.S. Forest Service Facebook page. They say they are currently battling it on the Croatan National Forest. This is people posting what they're seeing. They say that residents and visitors will see visible smoke in the area, as you can see. Here's another picture here. This is what people are driving through. They say the smoke will also impact Catfish Lake and the Great Lake Road areas. They say the public should be aware that they will be driving through this for a little while.
Michelle, thanks. We absolutely love sharing good news about local students.
A $40,000 scholarship.
Amazon scholarship, yes.
Wow, I didn't sit down for this.
That's David Kim. He goes to North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics in Durham. And he was just told that he got an Amazon Future Engineer Scholarship. It includes a $40,000 scholarship to study computer science or engineering at a university of his choosing and a paid internship at Amazon after their freshman year of college. David Kim is one of 400 high school students to get this scholarship. He couldn't wait to call his parents to give them the good news.
Papa. Hey, I have some good news.
What?
I got like a $40,000 Amazon scholarship.
I bet his parents are so proud. Kim is pursuing a career in computational analysis in hopes of using computer science for ethnographic research.
That is so great. Well, don't lose it, reuse it. The maker of classic toys like Rubik's Cube and Etch-A-Sketch are going green for Earth Day. We'll learn about their Play Sponsible initiative after the break.
And from the fascinating to the macabre, brand new museum is giving visitors a look at some of the unique items left inside abandoned luggage.
Remember the hours of fun you had playing Etch-a-Sketch, Rubik's Cube, checkers? Well, the maker of those toys is going green for Earth Day. Joining us to talk about this decision to make the toys better for the planet is Tammy Smitham, Vice President of Corporate Responsibility. Tammy, thanks so much. Good afternoon to you. Appreciate you joining us. Tell us about your PlaySponsible initiative. What is this?
Yeah, so Spin Master is a maker of many children's entertainment toys and entertainment toys that you might know about. And we really thought that because we're creating toys for kids, we have a responsibility to those kids to protect the Earth that they're one day going to inherit. And that's what you're seeing through PlaySponsible, bringing more sustainably minded materials into the toys that we make.
How long has it been going on? When did the company decide that it was time to make toys more sustainable?
Well, we work about 36 months out when we're developing products. So we really decided to work on this initiative about 2 years ago. And now you're starting to see the fruits of labor come to the market in the toys that you have in the studio.
Yeah. And how about these toys? The types of materials your company uses to make these eco-friendly toys, the packaging. I mean, I want to show you, like, I didn't want to take this out of the package because the package is recycled material. But what about the bear? What's that made of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so surprisingly, the bunny that you have inside that recycled plastic package is made of water bottles. So 10 water bottles actually go into this. We clean them, melt them down, and then they're spun into fibers that creates this incredibly soft bear. And I know you don't have it out of the package, but it is just as soft as a regular gun and super cuddly.
Yeah, totally. And if it was out of the package, I could have seen the ears a little better on it. So the bunny, not the bear.
That's okay. Like there's a bear too.
There it is, yeah. So how can families recycle their once cherished toys and games?
Yeah, so not only are we putting recycled content into the toys, we're also giving consumers the option to recycle their toys and their packaging when they're done. So they can just go to SpinMasterPlaySponsible.com. You can download a free label from TerraCycle, and you can send your toys back for free. What's great about that is that we'll then melt those toys down into plastic pellets, and they can be reused again. So they can be reused for garden paving stones, benches, and even children's playgrounds, which is amazing.
Oh, that is certainly amazing. And this this chess set that we have here as well, the Rubik's Cube, all that is absolutely recycled material?
Absolutely. So the chess set that you see there, you've got recycled plastic. And then the board is made from bamboo, which is one of the most renewable sources materials on Earth, actually. And then the Rubik's Cube is 100% recycled plastic and still just as hard to solve.
And the package as well that the Rubik's Cube came in. I love it. I think it's great. Tammy Smitham, thank you so much for joining us and also for your company's efforts to make toys greener and the world a better place.
Thank you, Jeff.
Have a great Earth Day.
You too.
And Raleigh is celebrating Earth Day today. You're looking live at Dix Park, where an event to help and celebrate the environment will happen tonight. The city is hosting the free community event from 5 to 10 tonight at the park. It will feature Earth-conscious vendors and organizations. There will also be live music, games, and other activities. The city will give out its environmental awards during the event, and the movie WALL-E will be shown starting at 8:15. Good to get that in today. And apparently you're going to challenge me to some chess here?
We're going to go sit in Dix Park in the sun, and I'm going to teach you how to play chess.
Because I need to learn.
Yeah, that'd be great, right? It's a nice day for it.
Yeah.
It's sunny outside right now. Anyway, we are focusing on that Earth Day, though, and what's happening tomorrow.
Yes, and luckily, you know, Dix Park, it's going to be great out there for the event today. Glad they're getting it in today, and I'm glad Durham is getting in the Earth Day event on Sunday, because tomorrow's the day wedged between where things won't be quite so nice outside. Your Earth Day forecast, if you are headed out to Dix Park this evening, 82 degrees at 6 o'clock. By 8 o'clock, 76 degrees, I should say. And the event ends at 10 o'clock. Temperatures should still be in the low to mid 70s at that time. The next system that we are tracking, though, is a very strong one. Not only does it bring the threat for severe weather ahead of it tomorrow, but this is a strong cold front. You are going to notice the temperature change behind it. Here comes the cooler air that really begins to invade on Sunday. We're going to be in the 70s tomorrow for highs, and then 60s on Sunday, and high temperatures in the 60s likely to last through all of next week. And that's pretty significant. Our normal high this time of year is in the mid 70s. So when you see high temperatures in the 60s, it's below normal.
normal. And there are signs that this pattern could last even past next week. Below normal temperatures are likely heading into early May. This is the temperature outlook for April 29th through May 5th, showing below normal temperatures for the central and eastern part of the U.S., above normal temperatures likely out west. The other factor here is when you see below normal temperatures like this, we typically have a big dip in the jet stream. That also increases our rain chances. So I think that unsettled weather pattern will continue as well. The most significant feeling will be the low temperatures in the mornings and the evenings. That's where you're really going to notice the chill. Low temperatures drop into the 40s through much of next week, down at 42 degrees by Tuesday morning. So let's take a closer look at the changes over the weekend. Tomorrow, a WREL weather alert day due to the threat for severe storms. Sunday, mostly sunny and dry. The better day for outdoor plans this weekend, upper 60s for highs. Zeroing in on the hour-by-hour storm timeline tomorrow, I think we could see some thunderstorms in the area as early as 10 a.m. But the storms are most likely from about noon through 6 or 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. That is when I think you really need to move your plants inside. And we should quickly see the storms clear out as we head into late tomorrow evening and tomorrow night. Futurecast tracking our storm chances. Let's take a look. Tomorrow morning, mainly dry at 8 a.m., about a 20% chance for rain then. But 10 a.m. through lunchtime, we see these thunderstorms blossoming, and as this front moves through the area, storms likely through the afternoon and early evening. We're likely to see some of those storms continue tomorrow night at the North Carolina coast if you're headed east. Tomorrow is our best chance for storms out of the next several days. Once we cool off behind this front, check out next week's forecast. High temperatures in the 60s all week, lows in the 40s and 50s, and that could come with some rain by the time we get to the middle of next week. The pattern looking quite unsettled, so make the most of your Friday. Today just could not be a more gorgeous day outside. Luckily, the humidity is low as well. Renee and Jeff.
Yeah, Kat, thanks. All that comes with some prior planning, and several events in our area planned for the weekend are now rescheduled because of the threat of storms. In Raleigh, the American Cancer Society Relay for Life is postponed. It was supposed to be tomorrow at Halifax Mall. WRL's Brian Schrader is the event MC. The new date for the Relay for Life is May 20th.
Now, if you've ever lost luggage or personal items on a trip, you may find them at a museum. Coming up, we'll tell you about the exhibit that holds 53 years of abandoned treasures.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. Traffic is moving again through a busy intersection in Smithfield after a dump truck crashed, causing a power outage. Police say the driver in that crash is Jose Delgado Gonzalez. Delgado Gonzalez is facing several charges, including misdemeanor hit and run and leaving the scene of an accident with property damage.
Today, Fort Bragg announced a soldier died during a training exercise earlier this week. Sergeant Joseph Zigarowski died Wednesday. Bragg leaders did not share any additional information about the training or what went wrong. He will be posthumously awarded the Meritorious Service Medal.
And breaking news right now related to the state community college system. State Board approved the hire of Jeff Cox to serve as the system's eighth president in 8 years. Dr. Cox is currently the president of Wilkes Community College. He will take over the role from the interim president, Bill Carver, who has been in place since July. A store that sells lost luggage opened a museum in Scottsboro, Alabama this morning. The museum features more than 100 unique items it has collected in its 53 years. Visitors will see everything from shrunken heads, suits of armor, a Victorian-era hand fan. Last month, unclaimed baggage got an international nod when director Daniel Scheinert wore a black tuxedo from the store to the Academy Awards ceremony.
Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Bree is a six-month-old puppy weighing 25 pounds, but she still has a little growing left to do. She was rescued walking all alone on the side of the road. All four of her paws were wounded, and a vet exam concluded that she has chemical burns. But she's been in treatment with the SPCA, which has done wonders to help her heal. Bree is a quick learner. Can't wait to join your family. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org or call the number on your screen, 919-772-2326.
Protecting our planet and our health can go hand in hand. Today at 4 on WRL News, how changes you can implement right now can help your body and the environment.
Make the most of today's dry weather, soak it up, and tomorrow, be sure to stay weather aware and stay with WREL for any changes to the severe weather risk. NBC News Daily is next on WREL.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.